reading some words that we've just heard from John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A month ago, on the 13th of November, unimaginable evil was unleashed on the streets of Paris. In the space of just a couple of hours, 368 people were injured, 130 were killed, including 89 in the Bataclan Theatre. It's one of a number of terrorist attacks, and together they confront us with a frightening reality. There is a terrible darkness in the world which threatens our very way of life. And the question we're bound to ask is, what has Christianity got to say to that evil? Any worldview has got to be able to say something in the light of those horrific attacks. So my question this evening, what has Bethlehem got to say to the Bataclan? Well, those words again. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Just look at those phrases in turn. First, the light shines in the darkness. Maybe there's someone here who internally is responding, no, it doesn't. Where was the light on that terrible evening in Paris? Where was God? Is he even there? And there are many, of course, who would respond, no, he's not. And it's events like that that prove there can be no God. John Osborne, the playwright, said this: here we are, we're alone in the universe, there's no God, we've only got ourselves. We've just got to make a go of it. We've only got ourselves. And as far as many people are concerned, well, that's good. We're better off without him. Look at all the evil that's committed in the name of God. And of course, those terrorist attacks were committed in the name of God. It'd be much better if there was no God and no religious belief. There'd be so much less evil in the world, wouldn't there? But do we really think that would solve the world's problems? If suddenly faith in God disappeared overnight, would that sort everything out? No, the problem is closer to home. Human nature has proved itself very capable of doing horrific things without any religious creed. Think of Nazism or communism. Fundamentally, the problem is not God. It's human nature. One of the most troubling aspects of the recent attacks is how normal many of the people who did those things seem to have been. I don't know if you saw any of the interviews. With neighbours and colleagues. And again the same words came out. He was so normal. She was so nice. They were just an ordinary couple. It gets frighteningly close to home. Do you remember the name Anders Breivik, who disguised himself as a policeman, went on to an island and shot 69 young people in Norway? A biography of him has recently been written. It was given the chilling title, One of Us. It'd be so much easier, wouldn't it, if we could say, these are beasts who've committed bestial acts and we've somehow completely distanced ourselves from them. Of course, we haven't committed terrorist events. But if we're honest, we'd have to say the darkness comes closer. It's not just out there. There are attitudes and actions in our own lives of which we're ashamed. That's why we keep them in the darkness. We don't want other people to see them. The situation would be very bleak indeed if we've only got ourselves, just human nature. And then we just have darkness and no hope. And the Bible wonderfully says, we are not alone. We're not trying to make a go of it in an impersonal, amoral, indifferent universe. Now, the Bible says this: God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The fundamental reality is not impersonal, amoral, indifferent matter. No, the fundamental reality is a loving, personal, moral God in whom there's no darkness at all. a God who loves what is good and hates what is evil and gets angry when he sees it. You ever wondered where our moral sense comes from, which reacted, I take it, with outrage when we saw on the television the horrific things that were happening in Paris? That is not an evolutionary accident. It's a reflection of the fact that we've been made by God, who cares about right and wrong. These are not simply subjective concepts that we inject into a meaningless, amoral world. They flow from the reality of a God who is love and who is goodness and who is light and hates darkness. There is light. And says John, the light shines in the darkness. That's quite a thought. We could understand, couldn't we, if the God who is absolute perfect light would turn away as we turn away from him and choose darkness instead of light, why wouldn't he turn away from us? But in his amazing love, the light shines in the darkness, supremely in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. People say in the light of horrific terrorist attacks, where is God? And the Bible answers, he's right here. In the midst of all the mess and the dirt and the darkness of the world. He was born in a manger, not a mansion. He was a refugee as a child, homeless as an adult, a victim of appalling injustice in his death. This is the God that Christians worship. Not a distant being who sends his condolences by text message. He's come to us in Christ. You had a difficult year, maybe a death in the family, or bitter loneliness, depression. Well, this God gets it. The light shines in the darkness. And the second phrase, and the darkness has not overcome it. It sometimes looks as if the darkness has won, doesn't it? As we look around at the situation in our world, or maybe some situation in our life, it seems so bleak. We can't see a way out. Darkness seems to engulf us, but it will not, not in the end. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Until I was 18, I might have called myself a Christian if I was pushed, I think. But I only had a very vague belief in God. I didn't understand about Christian faith. And then my sister got religion, and that was not good news as far as I was concerned for the rest of the family. She couldn't stop talking about it. She tried to drag us along to church. And eventually, my mother said to me, actually, just take her to that wretched church. It'll shut her up. We've got to get the family on the road again. So I went along, and all my worst fears were realized when someone smiled at me as I walked through the door and asked me my name, and I thought, I've heard of churches like that. And I stayed right at the back, just observing what was going on, trying to be as distant as I could from it. One thing that struck me, as I looked around, I thought, these people seem to believe it. And they kept talking about Jesus. And then the minister said that a couple in the church had lost a child in a terrible accident the night before, and we should pray for them. And then another couple spoke to the minister and clearly wanted to say something. They got up and they said how a number of years before they had lost a child, and how horrific it was. It was the darkest time of their life. But, they said, Jesus was with us every step of the way. And I remember thinking, they're Christians. They might be mad for all I know. But I wish I had what they've got. A light in the darkness. And without saying anything to my sister, I determined to read a New Testament account of the life and teaching of Jesus. One of the New Testament Gospels. And if you're in the same category as I was in, not sure about Christian faith, that would be a great place to start. We've got a number of Gospels by the door. And as I read, I was bowled over by the person of Jesus of Nazareth. He was manifestly a humble man. And yet he spoke such egocentric things. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. He said, I am the light of the world. Well, you've got to be able to back up those claims. They're divine claims. And as I read on, he backed them up. with a life like no other. Light just blazed out of him. With amazing teaching, powerful miracles. And I came to the conclusion I couldn't explain him any other way than to say he is who he claimed to be. God himself in human form. Light in the darkness. You'd think people would be thrilled that light had come into the world. But as I read on, I found that he was despised and rejected of men. He was arrested, put through a mockery of a trial, and then crucified. And the Bible tells us that as he was hanging there on the cross, there was darkness. Darkness at midday. And it looked as if the light had been snuffed out and evil had triumphed. I knew enough to know that Christians spoke of that day as Good Friday. It seemed to me manifestly not good. And yet as I looked on, I found the Bible described this not just as a tragedy, but as an amazing triumph. Because he rose again. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. His light shines on. And one day, says the Bible, he will return, and he will bring the justice that we are longing for. And darkness will be judged and banished from the earth. And on that day, forevermore, there'll be no death, says the Bible, no mourning, no crying, no pain, just eternal light in the presence of God, in a perfect world. There's hope. But if I recognize the darkness within, how can I have any reason for confidence that I'll be part of that amazing future? Because if God comes in Christ to judge the world and to banish darkness, what about the darkness in me? Doesn't mean that surely mean I'll be separated from his presence. What hope is there? I discovered it was found in the death of Christ. It's an astonishing truth that very often in the darkest places, light shines. Of course, it shines more brightly in the darkness. We saw it in Paris. In the midst of those horrors, reports came afterwards of astonishing acts of kindness and courage. The most striking I read about in the days after the incidents was a man called Ludovic. He was a computer engineer. He was out for a meal with a friend of his, a girl called Chloe. And as the terrorists came and fired their guns, he saw what was going on and he shielded her. And the bullets went into him and he died. The Times newspaper said a few days later that since that had happened, over and over again, I quote, she keeps repeating the name of her saviour. Well, just as Ludovic saved his friend through his death, the Bible says Jesus died as a saviour, taking upon himself the punishment for all the darkness in our hearts, the shameful attitudes and actions, so that if we trust in him, we can be sure it's dealt with and we can come into the light and live in relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, here on earth while we wait for the future, the day when light will come. And darkness will be completely banished. There's reason for hope. Of course, as we face another year, there are reasons for anxiety. There's darkness within, there's darkness without. But there's hope. In 1939, King George VI addressed the nation in his message on Christmas Day. 39, of course, was a time when the world's peace was threatened by a terrible darkness, the darkness of Nazism. And he quoted a poem. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown." And he replied, "Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light, and safer than a known way." What does Bethlehem have to say to the Bataclan? It says we're not alone in the universe. God is with us. and goodness will win. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. Well, if you're able, please do stay after our service finishes this evening for refreshments, which will be brought to you in your seat. And on your way out, don't forget those little cards you could fill out to let us know you want us to contact you. There's Gospels available, as Vaughan said, and also our retiring collection. And all that remains for me to say is to thank you very much indeed for coming this evening, and on behalf of all at St. Ebb's Church, to wish you a very happy Christmas. Let's stand to sing our final carol. Hark, the herald angels sing. Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you. Scatter the darkness from before your path, and make you ready to meet him when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Please be seated.